Pushkin.
Small business owners, this one's for you. Chase for Business and iHeart bring you a new podcast series called The Unshakeables. This one-of-a-kind series will shine the spotlight on small business owners like you who faced a do-or-die moment that ultimately made their business what it is today. Learn more at chase.com/business/podcast. Chase, make more of what's yours. Chase Mobile App is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Copyright 2024 JPMorgan Chase & Company.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
It all started with two federal agents who heard a rumor.
She mentions, well, there is this alleged murder to have taken place.
There was just one problem. They had no clue who the victim was.
We have to do our job, and we have to find out, who did they kill?
It had been 15 years since this alleged murder. Was it still possible to unearth the truth?
I used to watch the Unsolved Mystery shows, and I often thought about calling because I was like, this is not right. How can a person get killed and no one knows anything?
I'm Jake Halpern, and this is Deep Cover, The Nameless Man. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to hear the entire season right now, ad-free, subscribe to Pushkin Plus on our Apple Podcast show page or on pushkin.fm/plus.
On January 1st, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation as a fit and necessary war measure to limit the Confederacy's use of enslaved people during the Civil War. Though the song of emancipation spread across the country, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't actually free all of the enslaved black men, women, and children in rebel-held territories. In most cases, enslaved people had to emancipate themselves, running away from plantations to Union armies. In other cases, enslavers hid the Emancipation Proclamation from the enslaved. In the Confederate state of Texas, enslaved people did not hear the song of emancipation until 2.5 years later. On June 19, 1865, Union soldiers marched into Galveston, Texas, armed with the news that the Civil War was over and the slavery that brutally subjugated roughly 250,000 black people in Texas was over too. I'm Ibram X. Kendi, and this is the Be Anti-Racist Juneteenth Mixtape. The day that those soldiers marched into Galveston, Texas became known as Juneteenth. This holiday has been recognized and celebrated in black homes, schools, families, and communities ever since. In recent years, America's enduring deep-rooted racism and the uprisings and movements to combat it have ushered the recognition of Juneteenth into the national consciousness. In 2020, we saw celebrations, lectures, events, and social media campaigns held to commemorate America's other Independence Day and the abolition of slavery. And in 2021, over 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was finally enacted in Texas, we celebrate Juneteenth once more. But it is critically important to distinguish between abolishing slavery and freeing people. In 1865, black people throughout the South implored Union officials to not abolish slavery in a way that would leave them landless and disenfranchised. Yet they were left without land in an agricultural society and told they were free. My ancestors asked not to be forced to work for their former masters, yet many found themselves toiling and being terrorized in the same fields as supposedly free men and women. They asked that the law and the sheriff not replace the master and the whip. My ancestors were not truly free if they were still subjugated by racism, and their descendants and our allies have been engaged in the freedom struggle against racism ever since. It is important to reflect on what we are celebrating when we celebrate Juneteenth this year and every year. We are celebrating the freedom struggle against slavery before and during the Civil War. We are celebrating the freedom struggle to abolish racism since the Civil War. We are celebrating the Black freedom struggle. We are celebrating the old and new fights to be free. That is what Juneteenth means to me. For this Juneteenth mixtape, we wanted to find out what Juneteenth means to you and to our community. We reached out to leading voices and luminaries and hit the streets of New York to find out. Here's what we learned.
Hello. Do you mind if I ask you a couple questions about Juneteenth?
Sure. My name is Ashley Edopai. I'm from Bowie, Maryland.
When would you say you first became aware of the term Juneteenth?
I believe it was at some point in college. I believe there was a campus event happening honoring the holiday, and that was probably the first time I read up on the history of the day.
Do you think that most Americans are aware of Juneteenth?
I think most Black Americans have been aware. I would say those from other races probably weren't as aware until last year due to the uprising of Black Lives Matter movements and George Floyd. So because of that timeline, I think last June was when a lot of people, for the first time, were knowing the history of that day and how much it means to African Americans in the U.S.
Would you say Juneteenth is a holiday that matters to you?
Yeah, it definitely matters to me. To me, I think it's a day for our community to reflect and honor the history of our people, of the African American people in this country. I think it's a combination of a day of celebration, celebrating where we are and the strides we've made and what freedom looks like in some aspects. And on the flip side of that coin, thinking about the ways our freedoms have not yet manifested and the battles that we're still fighting as a race in this country and in other countries where racism has manifested in very awful ways. So I think, you know, for the most part, I love personally like celebrating the day and getting together with my community locally and online and just spreading awareness of, you know, how far we've come, but what issues need to be shed light on. I live in Bed-Stuy, so I'm sure there will be a bunch of events happening, and I plan on coming out and being in the community.
Great. Well, thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Annette Gordon-Reed. I'm the Carl M. Loeb University Professor at Harvard University. I first learned about Juneteenth as a child because I was born in Texas and my family has lived in Texas for many generations. I grew up celebrating the day, drinking far too much red soda water, eating too much barbecue, throwing firecrackers with my friends, and having an all-around good time. But as I grew older, I came to understand from listening to my grandparents and my great-grandmother, who lived until I was 11, about how important the day was to think about the former enslaved, people who learned on June 19, 1865, that slavery was over in Texas. That day should be marked by joy and celebration, but also about remembrance. It's a day for family, too. That's the thing that I took away from those celebrations in Livingston, Texas, and in Conroe, Texas, with my family, gathering people together, and how important that was for people who had lived many, many years under the shadow of family displacement and sale as they were treated as items of property. So Juneteenth to me is a day of fun. It's a day of remembrance and it's a day for family. And what I plan to do is talk to people about Juneteenth and have some red soda water and have some barbecue brisket.
I'm known in the parks as Hookshot Ming, Dean Street Park.
When would you say you first became aware of the term Juneteenth?
About a week ago.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened? What was that conversation like?
Actually, I seen it on the news.
What do you think Juneteenth means to Black Americans?
Well, it means the struggle's not over. I guess it is a part of awareness to the young Black brothers and sisters now, but I'm from the Black Panther era, right? Which it was something totally different, right? But I'm glad to see that they are talking about being Black and what Black's all about, you know, but to me, it's just another day. It's just another day in the neighborhood. It's more about not just celebrating Juneteenth, but it's about being involved, contributing, getting out there and raising your voice. But I'm glad to see that something is being said. You know, it's time. You know, we've been sitting back for a couple of years now, since I say the late 80s, we've been relaxed, you know what I'm saying? And because we're relaxed, they're taking advantage now. You see the Republican Party? It's Ku Klux Klan, point blank. They didn't go away, they just found another home.
And you say, what was the name they call you? What's your name again?
My name is Hookshot Me.
How'd you get that?
Because I got a treacherous hookshot from anywhere on court. In Dean Street Park, I'm also referred to as the GOAT.
Good to know. I'll take it. I appreciate that.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Yes. I enjoyed that.
I'm Taya Miles, and I'm a professor of history at Harvard University, a mom, and the author, most recently, of All That She Carried, The Journey of Ashley Sack, A Black Family Keepsake. I first became aware of Juneteenth when I was a little girl, and I can't even remember now how old I was. What I do recall, what does come to mind, are images of my mother taking me to beautiful green city parks along the Ohio River. Live music, vendors, really good food. I recall being able to sometimes get a t-shirt or a necklace and being able to always get a popsicle or an orange pop or a red pop. I remember my mother dancing on the grass and my feeling of happiness and pleasure at seeing her express herself so freely and feeling so comfortable in that community space. Juneteenth for America should be a memory marker. It should remind us all of the many generations that Africans and African-descended people spent in captivity. It should remind us of the radical change that was necessary to end that period of American history, and also of the continuing abuses that African-Americans experienced, including not being told that they were free at the time that they were actually freed. Juneteenth also represents African-American creativity, I think, and we see that creativity in the word itself. For me, Juneteenth means family, it means community, it means a space of pause and respite. And this Juneteenth, my family and I are going to be barbecuing in our yard and spending some time on a Google Hangout with other family members who are far away from us in states across the country.
My name is Amari Smith.
And where are you originally from?
Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, since 97. Same house, same everything, so.
What can you tell us about Juneteenth?
I just know that we should just get money from that day. And we should be off, period. That's the day, like, slaves were freed, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I know it was, like, something with slavery, but I don't know the whole story about it. Which is sad, because we never really learned about that shit in school anyway.
Do you remember when you first became familiar with the term?
Last year, actually. Really sad.
Just because of everything that was going on?
Everything that was going on, and like my job said that we will have next Juneteenth off. So that was kind of cool.
Hi, what's your name?
Sophie.
And where are you originally from?
Harlem. Juneteenth is the real Independence Day, when the slaves were freed, us. I don't think that people really pay attention to it much or think it's important. They're more focused on the commercial stuff, like July 4th and stuff like that.
Why do you think it's the real Independence Day?
I mean, because they freed the slaves, and slaves are people, so that's important, you know. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to wear my shirt, my Juneteenth shirt. I'm going to invite some friends over. We're going to have some snacks. We're going to read about some things and teach each other, because I feel like a lot of us still need to educate ourselves. So that's what I'll be doing.
I'm Maurice Carlos Ruffin. I'm an author and a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. I first became aware of Juneteenth in high school. I think I was a freshman. And I went to a high school that had a sort of a radical Black educational agenda. So they would tell us about activists and history and the story behind so many other stories that were not being told. So I'm pretty sure it was any number of my teachers in different classes who brought it up and told us what it was all about. I think that Juneteenth to America means a few different things. I do think that maybe for mainstream America, people don't think very much about it. But I think that for African Americans and for people who are paying attention to the American history and the American present, Juneteenth is a time of reflection. It is a time of empowerment, and it's a time of celebration as well. For me personally, Juneteenth is very much about recognizing the beauty, the strength, the intellect, and the creativity of my ancestors. And for all the Black folks in America who have pushed through different eras of oppression to provide for their families, to provide for themselves, and to provide for the country at large. So many gifts, whether it be in terms of literature or music or culture in society. For me, Juneteenth is a time to embrace all of that and just feel bigger and stronger. So this year on Juneteenth, I'm actually going to be traveling. I work as a creative writing teacher in different university programs. And so I'll be going to a program in Virginia that's actually one of the most diverse faculties I've worked with in my life. And so I'm sure that while I'm there, I'm going to be thinking very much about Juneteenth, about how the love and the belief of my ancestors allowed me to get my education, allowed me to sort of lean into my own writing life, and now be somebody providing that same sort of education to other people in the world. So I'll be thinking about Juneteenth very much, and I'll be celebrating it certainly all day.
Hi, my name is Jomani, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York, born and raised. Juneteenth, I'm familiar with the fact that not all of us were free until all of us were free. It was a national celebration that ensued, and to this day, we're still celebrating. We're not free from all of the oppression that we face as a community, but we are free when, as a whole diaspora and as a whole culture, we can recognize the strides that we've made to this point.
When do you think you first became aware of the term?
Definitely during the pandemic is when it was widespread, and as a whole, we were celebrating because of all of the stress and all of the turmoil that we were put through. I knew about it before, heard about it, but never really experienced the joy of being a part of it until, you know, being in spaces where we were all celebrating, not just being outside because of a pandemic, but just the things that we were able to accomplish in the midst of the pandemic, bringing social awareness to our community issues, and also being able to celebrate the things that we accomplish as artists, as activists, as artivists as a whole. I think Juneteenth, for those who aren't Black, is accountability. I feel like it's really acknowledging, hey, we have not taken accountability for the stresses that we've put on the Black community. And we need to, and we need to celebrate what the resiliency behind the Black community is. To this day, Black people are so resilient and they're so creative and they just produce all of the things that make this world go round. Like, as a whole, I feel like Juneteenth to America is a spot where we can recognize the faults in the system, but also celebrate how we were able to rise above that.
My name is Adam Serwer, and I'm a staff writer with The Atlantic and the author of the forthcoming book, The Cruelty is the Point, The Past, Present, and Future of Trump's America. I first learned about Juneteenth when I was a kid in Washington, D.C., and I think that the holiday is complicated because it is a celebration of emancipation, but it also symbolizes the reality that freedom and progress are not inevitable and that American history is often the story of promises too long delayed. The fact that the 13th Amendment was not sufficient to abolish slavery throughout the South and that General Gordon Granger was compelled to enforce abolition in Texas is a reminder of Frederick Douglass's maxim that power concedes nothing without demand. I will be spending my Juneteenth eating delicious barbecued meats with my family here in Texas, where the first Juneteenth was celebrated.
Hey, how you doing? You mind if I ask you a couple questions about Juneteenth?
Sure.
What's your name?
RJ. I'm from D.C., Maryland area. Juneteenth? I think I've known about Juneteenth, put it this way. I knew about it before last year. I had always knew that it represented the day in which African Americans were freed from slavery, but I do have to say that I fully learned what it was probably in 2020.
Is there any particular way in which you'll be celebrating Juneteenth this year? Or?
Well, that's a good question. And actually, that sparks the idea. I should celebrate it this year. We all should celebrate it. I don't have any plans to celebrate it. But now that you mention it, maybe now I do. I do think it's crazy that people don't know what Juneteenth is and that we don't celebrate it, like, at all. Because we celebrate July 4th, and that's what? Independence Day? What, 1776? No? Like, African Americans were slaves then. So I don't really know what African Americans really have to celebrate about July 4th because we weren't invited to that party. You know, we didn't enjoy the rights that they're celebrating. So, to be honest, I think Juneteenth should be the real Independence Day. That's if America is about freedom and justice for all and rights for everybody. Technically, that wasn't the case until 1865. So that to me sounds like more like an Independence Day than July 4th, if you ask me.
My name is Heather McGee, and I'm the author of the book The Sum of Us: What Racism Costs Everyone and How We Can Prosper Together. On my book tour, I was asked a question about Juneteenth. Some union activists were trying to get a city council resolution making Juneteenth a holiday, and there was a white member of the city council, a man, who was opposed to the idea or hesitant about it. And the activists asked me what advice I would give for getting him to see Juneteenth as something that would be worth celebrating. And I got quiet and I thought about this exercise of empathy that I've been doing for the past number of years to try to find a way to see a win-win, a solidarity dividend that we can unlock when we come together across lines of race. I thought about how this man probably thought about July 4th as a holiday that was something he looked forward to, was the American Independence Day that he'd always enjoyed. He'd always loved the barbecues. You know, American workers don't get a lot of holidays, and we only have one in the summer, and it often results in a long weekend and family get-togethers and grilled hot dogs and fireworks. We don't celebrate a lot as a people in this country. We don't give ourselves breaks too often. And I thought, maybe this white city council member was seeing it through a zero sum. If Juneteenth is a holiday, does that mean he has to lose the holiday that he had grown up celebrating? I wonder if he's wondering, does he have to lose July 4th? Does he have to lose that Independence Day and Quite literally, will this white man be invited to the cookout if we begin to celebrate the true Independence Day, the day in which all of our people became free, and the day in which this country became free of the yoke of slavery that was handed to us before our founding. So it occurred to me that maybe when we talk about Juneteenth, we should paint a picture of what it looks like for everyone to celebrate this, because the liberation of enslaved people is as important to every single person living in this land today as it is to any of us. It is our collective liberation, because racism has a cost for everyone. So on the day of June 19th, every single American should celebrate and recommit to the principles of true freedom from the legacy of white supremacy, because truly that will make us all free.
How are you celebrating Juneteenth this year? Tag us on Twitter at Pushkin Pods and let us know.
Be Anti-Racist is a production of Pushkin Industries and iHeartMedia. Our Juneteenth mixtape was written and hosted by Dr. Ibram X. Kendi and produced by Brittany Brown and Sasha Mathias, with help from Alexandra Garrettin and Nicole Morano. It was mixed and mastered by Ben Tolliday. Our executive producers are Lita Molad and Mia Lobel. Many thanks to Tammy Nguyen and Dr. Heather Sanford at the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University for all of their help. At Pushkin, thanks to Heather Fain, Carly Migliori, John Schnars, and Jacob Weisberg. You can find Dr. Kendi on Twitter at Dr. Ibram and on Instagram at IbramXK. You can find Pushkin on all social platforms at Pushkin Pods, and you can sign up for our newsletter at pushkin.fm. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
It all started with two federal agents who heard a rumor.
She mentions, well, there is this alleged murder to have taken place.
There was just one problem. They had no clue who the victim was.
We have to do our job, and we have to find out, who did they kill?
It had been 15 years since this alleged murder. Was it still possible to unearth the truth?
I used to watch the Unsolved Mystery shows, and I often thought about calling, because I was like, this is not right. How can a person get killed and no one knows anything?
I'm Jake Halpern, and this is Deep Cover, The Nameless Man. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to hear the entire season right now, ad-free, subscribe to Pushkin Plus on our Apple Podcast show page or on pushkin.fm/plus.